We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Is the camera rolling? Before I start, I need to know if the camera's rolling.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, is in the building. T, you in the building today, baby?
Yes, sir. I'm always in the building. When you can't see me, I'm still here. Hear me, you know I'm here. Get your popcorn ready all day.
I think for some reason we always hear you, dog. Always.
That's right.
Hey, don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yep. And definitely, if you want to hear the audio version of this, definitely tune in. Check that Himalaya app out. Subscribe, swipe, share. But if you want to see the beautiful faces with these voices, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/Terrell Owens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shoot, this week on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast, we're going to talk a little NBA, right? We got the bubble. We got the playoffs coming up. Mitch Richmond, the Hall of Famer, right? One guard, two guard, three guard, plays all the positions. Something you don't know a lot about, T, some basketball. So I'm gonna put you a little bit on game today and bring my boy Mitch to the show today, baby.
Hey man, let me tell you something, man. I love when you try to knock some of the greatest off the pedestals that we're on. You know, myself and Mitch, we're Hall of Famers. You know what I mean?
You might want
to get on our level.
Yeah, you got me on that one. Hey, that's all right. No, but like, and you know, me and you, we know Mitch forever.
Right.
You know, except we both play basketball, play football. Of course, we think, you know, all basketball players want to play football. All football, we want to play basketball.
Right.
Like you say, you think you can play basketball. You can't. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I can't wait. But when we get him on here, we're going to ask him. We're going to ask him.
Ask him,
see who's the best.
I know
I'm the best. I know about
anyway,
when we get on the screen,
nope.
Even when he gets on the screen, I'm the best basketball player that's going to be on the screen.
I doubt that. But anyway, but no, one thing I know about Mitch, like I said, I've known him forever now. But he was a football guy. Yeah, I said when he was in high school, he loved football. I remember he loved the Dallas Cowboys, loved football. He always thought he could possibly play college football. You know, he's got those big shoulders. You know,
he defense or he offense? I'm probably just I don't see he's not a receiver.
I would say anything
tight end or maybe defensive end or something like that.
I mean, he looking so big now, he probably D-tackle, but he gonna hate me for that one. But no, because you know how it's funny, like, you know, basketball, all the basketball players have the exact same story, right? When everybody goes out for football one time, right? And they're eighth grade, they put on the pads, put the helmet on, they see it on TV, and all those skinny basketball players go out there, I'm gonna play receiver, I'm gonna play DB, and they go out there and they get hit one time, they be done. They never go back to practice. It's like you ask all these NBA guys that. They all have the same story. It's hilarious.
Wow.
But, yeah, we're looking forward to having NBA Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond is in the building. Six-time yes. NBA All-Star. Six-time NBA All-Star, right?
Yep.
Shoot, NBA
Five-time
champion.
NBA team. 2002 NBA champion with the Lakers. Most notably known for his time in Golden State. Warriors. Run TMC. Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond, and Chris Mullin. Man, those three boys, they were lighting it up. Man, I hate that their careers got
Yeah.
Management wise, got cut short.
Yeah.
You know, but
man. 3 years. They only played 3 years together.
I know, bro, that's crazy.
If you look at it now, especially after watching The Last Dance, you see how the management kind of broke up the team more than the team broke up the team.
Right.
Like, just think if those guys could have played 5, 6, maybe even 10 years together. You know, they could have had a dynasty with a couple more pieces.
Yep, true that.
So there it is. But yeah, coming to the stage, my boy Mitch Richmond, NBA Hall of Famer, on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. And don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
No doubt.
Well, welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Yep. This is me. Y'all know who it is. That's right. Your boy T.O. is in the building. For everybody that's listening, I am very, very hyped about this. Get your popcorn ready. Welcome to the show.
My man, Mitch Richmond, is in the building today. Hall of Famer. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, baby?
What's going on?
How you doing, man? Oh, man. Yeah, you look good, buddy. You look like you on vacation right now, and I know you're in Calabasas. You know, I don't know why you look like you on in Malibu when I know you're at the crib. Hey, well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yo, so today we're gonna talk. We're gonna get into we've had Oscar Award winners on. We've had Grammy Award winners on. We got Hall of Famers, of course. You know, T always, bless us with some of his Hall of Fame buddies. But for the first time on Get Your Popcorn Ready, we finally get to talk about some NBA basketball. Something T don't know nothing about.
Something that between the both of us, me and Hatch, that I'm very much so well versed in, more so than him. And athletically, I am well rounded of a basketball player than he is as well. And I'll let you touch on that, Mitch, because I'm pretty sure, Mitch, you are an honest guy. I know your wife. You are a man of integrity. You have seen Mitch. You have seen Matthew Hatchett play. And you have seen T.O. play.
Now, who would win in a one-on-one, Mitch? Let's just start it out. Who go win in a one-on-one? Not today, because my hip. I can't play today.
But it don't matter.
10, 15 years ago, who was going to win in a one-on-one contest between me and T.O. in basketball, up to 11?
Let it be known, bro.
And fouls got to be called.
Fouls got to be called, man.
Fouls got to be called.
Hatch, you know I love you, man, but oh, shit. I mean, damn, I'm sorry. You know, T.O., you my boy. God dang, man.
Come on, man. Hey, just be honest, dog.
Hey, man,
it's okay.
All of us hang out together, all three of us.
That's right.
All good. I don't want this to hurt our
friendship. Hey, trust me, our friendship will never be ruined. It will never be ruined. Never.
Hatch, I don't know, man.
You don't know. Mitch. Look, T. I'm gonna break it down. So
I think T.O. might get you though.
Thank you. That's all it needs.
Wait, what do you say, Mitch?
Give me a 20 second.
Listen, now, definitely, like, say if I was the coach right now, okay?
Yes, I was coaching both.
You know what I'm saying? And I said, okay, like, you know, T.O., you can play both sides. You can play the defense and the offense.
Yeah.
But if I need a bucket, I might have to go to T.O. You know, if I need a bucket.
Okay. Now, what if you need a stop on the other end?
I will have to say this. I don't have to take T.O. out the game to put you in because he's gonna play on that end too. But I'm gonna put you in. I'm gonna put somebody else out, and I'm gonna put Hatch in so he can defend because I know he can defend. But I hope he don't defend without fouling because he can defend.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen? This is going to be the shortest episode of Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast because Mitch Richmond is on here lying to the whole world and everybody.
I tried to help Hatch with his shot.
You did. You don't want my help. There's one thing I would say before I shot every shot. I always say, stick my butt out. Cause that's one thing I picked up from Mitch on my jumper. You stick your butt out, you get that automatic bend in your knee.
Hatch, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You would say stick your butt out because you would get the automatic bend in your knee.
Well, I was trying to say bend. I wasn't really trying to say stick your butt out. I was just trying to say bend your bend
this
down.
This guy. Yeah, but bend down.
But no, Hatch, like, listen, I always told Hatch, you know, you got some nice little form, but if you just, you know, don't shoot at the top of the arena. You try to shoot all of you, try to shoot it at the top of the arena. It goes
on. He had too much art? Too much art? Art.
Hey, T. Okay, so let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this, Nick. Okay, if you got 10 shots only from the three-point line, right? Who you gonna take, me or T?
Quit trying to find a way to win, dog.
Hey, T, I'm gonna find one thing.
No, quit trying to find a way to
tell you what.
Quit trying to find a way to win.
I hate y'all.
Hey, I appreciate this. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready for all the listeners out there. You just heard it from an NBA player himself.
He don't count.
One of the members of Run TMC, Mitch Richmond. He just basically gave the world his answer.
Listen, man.
Matthew Hatchett, quit trying to find a way to finagle him. He's like a when you cross examine, you keep asking the same, asking a different question, expecting a different answer. Yes. That is not going to happen here, people. He has already spoken. The man has spoken. Hatch, let's move on to another subject, please.
Now, Hatch, you can play now. We're not saying that you cannot play. You are
absolutely.
You can play. We're not saying that.
Mitch, I don't need your backhanded compliments now that you done put me on blast. Hey, forget all that. But okay, so. So you know you are.
One last thing.
Yeah.
If T.O. is hurt, I will play you 48 minutes. How about that? Okay. If T.O. is hurt, I'm going to play 48 minutes of the game. You know what I mean?
I love it.
If T.O. is healthy, I might give him 38 and give you 10. How about that?
I love it.
I'm glad your opinion means nothing to me, Mitchell. Okay, so let's twist it around a little bit though, because ladies and gentlemen, I think that you guys, of course, you guys know Mitchell Richmond as an NBA Hall of Famer, and his first love was football. Actually, kind of like T played, you know, football, went to the NFL. NFL Hall of Fame. It was the opposite. He's a lover of basketball. But so tell us what position you could have played, and if you think you could have played high level college or in the NFL as a football, Mitch.
Well, I really do think I could have played in the NFL.
Of course you do, and we know it's. Go ahead. Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
What you think about that, Ash? You
don't
really.
I know you couldn't. You don't got no fast twitch.
He doesn't need to have fast twitch.
If you wanted to play defensive tackle, yes, you could have played D tackle.
Okay, let everybody know.
First of all, that's some bullshit. Second of all, okay, like listen, hey, I had the hands, brother. Like I was a tight end. I played defensive end and tight end. All right. So anything was close by me, bro, I was catching. Okay. Now,
did you play in high school?
Well, I stopped around the 10th
grade. It was too physical for you, right? Too physical.
No. I found something else that I really and truly like, and I was going to go back my senior year, but everything was just flowing out so well that I just said, hey, I'm just going to stay out of that sun. You know, I mean, I'm from Florida, bro. It's hot as heck out there, homie. I stayed in the gym.
Right. Okay, so take us back a little bit from your Florida days. So you're high school basketball. So what high school did you go to in Florida? And then how'd that transition go from your high school to your junior college, which you went to, and then to college?
I went to about three different schools, and that's probably why I didn't really kind of finish a season in football, because my mom was always moving. I went to probably three or four different middle schools. We was always moving, and so, you know, changing places every all the time. I didn't start playing basketball until the 10th grade. Football, in Florida, you know, the first thing when you're born and you're a black man, you know, and you're a boy, you know, they put a football in your hand. And so that was our first love. And so so once I started playing basketball, you know, I started getting a little taller and started enjoying it. Never really was looking forward to looking at it as professional. It's just something that I looked at and then that I really and truly liked. It was fun, and it was so easy for me, I think, from going from football to basketball, because I learned all the tough stuff.
Yeah.
Football. You learn all the contact. You know, you wasn't scared of contact. You weren't scared of the hitting. You weren't scared of the physical play. And so I went to, when I went to basketball, I just thought everybody was soft. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So what really propelled me in basketball early, I can only jump and, you know, I can rebound and I can dunk. And so what really, and I can shoot a little bit, but I think what propelled me was that I was tough and I wasn't afraid. So it kind of like my physical play kind of helped me to kind of evolve in what I was now.
Right. So what type? So when you was in high school, like what was your, you know, how many points in high school did you average? Since you weren't considered a scorer, like when did you become a scorer?
No, I was considered a scorer, homie. I'm just saying.
He's like, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, don't get it twisted, homie. I stayed that first year. It was my 10th year. So
okay.
They moved right to varsity and they already had, you know, seniors and everything like that, but I was still playing. Mm-hmm. And so my junior year, I think I averaged like 23 right out the gate.
Oh, okay.
23 and 16. That's my senior year, same thing, 23 and by 16. I mean, I was always knowing that I just kind of, my game kind of evolved a little bit. My junior year started shooting outside a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that I had to go to college. If I had to go to college and play, if I wanted to play in college, I had to move my position because I was playing the 5 and the 4. And so if I wanted to play in the league or not the league, but in college, I had to move my position to the 2 guard. So going from high school, I went to 3 different high schools. I went to Deerfield High. Mm-hmm. I went to Dillard High. And then I graduated from Boyd Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Right. So you touched on a little bit, and I think that's what Hatch was hinting on as far as that transition.
Right.
What was it, I guess, you know, hearing you explain, like, there was a difference between your sophomore and your junior year. And mm-hmm. you explained just the physicality and what really your mindset is what enabled you, I think, with your confidence to be able to play. So mm-hmm. what was it that really clicked, or what was it so much of a difference in between your sophomore and your junior year that you saw that, okay, I'm big, I can rebound, and then now your junior year, you're like a prolific scorer. You're a shooter.
Working on the aspect of my game that I know I didn't have.
Okay.
You know, I knew that I was a rebounder. You know, I can post up. I was good around 15 to 16 feet, but I didn't have the deep ball. So that was one of the things that I was working with in the summer, is trying to improve that. And also, if I wanted to play in college, I had to improve my ball handling skills. So each and every summer, it was me working on something and working on the overall game to kind of get me better.
Mm, okay. Right. So, and then from there, you went to K-State. Right. So you go to K-State and you become like
he went to junior college before he went to K-State.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. So when I went to junior college, it was another me developing. So like we had a heck of a team. You know, there were some sophomore guys. That was there already. That team was really good. Adding me, that even made it better. I remember my coach said, if I come here, I probably wouldn't start because we got so many great players. And I'm like, man, if I come, I'm start. You tripping. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So right. But for there, each and every year, I had to continue to kind of get my skills up to par. When I first played in high school and when I got to junior college, I used to shoot the ball to the side. And my coach said that I wouldn't be able to get that off. Not playing against guys that are athletes, playing against quicker guys, playing against smarter guys, everything like that. I had to move the ball to the top of my forehead. And so those 2 years was really a learning experience for me. My first year, I averaged 10 points. My first year in junior college, we had 8 guys led us in double figures. So I was one of the 10 points. We had our leading scorer averaged 16. So everybody was 11, 12, 13. So we had a crew. And then my sophomore year, I came out the gates. My freshman year in JUCO, we got to the tournament. We beat the team out of Michigan. They was 40-0. And wow. We wiped them out, and then now we're getting ready to play another game to get to the championship. We all of my teammates, the starting five, got food poisoning. Mm. I was the only one. I was the only one didn't get food poisoning, and so during the game, the guys was going to try to play. They tried to play, they couldn't do it, and then so that was a coming out party for me. I probably had about 28, something like that, 25. And so next year I was an All-American, but I only averaged 16 points. So it was a gradual thing each and every year. And so when I went to K-State, my first year, I averaged 19 points. But I played my junior year with a rubber cast on because I had broke my wrist and I didn't want to sit out. So my whole junior year, I'm averaging 19 points a game, and I got a rubber cast on my shooting hand. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I got two questions here. So the starting five. So was it you that poisoned the guys?
I'm trying to figure. So you know it was. You kind of just indicted yourself, young fella.
Yeah, not at all, man.
You the only one that didn't get poisoned.
I know it was crazy. I don't know how that happened. It was crazy because like, we had such a good team, man. We was looking so far. We knew we was gonna beat this other team.
Right.
And just for those guys to be sick and not get to the championship because we felt like we had the better team and not to win it all. And yeah, I mean,
So my other question was, because obviously we all have like different routes to get where we are. Hatch, like I said, went to a small school. Mm-hmm. Obviously you, like I said, this is information for me because I didn't know you took the JUCO route. So for all our listeners out here, like again, were you opposed to going to a JUCO knowing the skill set that you had? Did you feel like you should have been at a Division I school?
Well, I was recruited by Division I schools.
Right.
I didn't have the grades.
Okay.
So I had to go JUCO. And it was, and I can remember, University of Arkansas, at that time they had, I can't remember who was the coach, Sutton I think was the coach. Mm. But they had Joe Klein and they had Alvin Robinson. So I went on a visit to University of Arkansas, and they were playing Houston, Akeem Olajuwon. So that was, and I wanted to go to this game because I'm a big Olajuwon fan and Houston fan, and seen Clyde Drexler. So I'm what used to happen with the Houston college team was you had to get to the game early because they would do a dunk contest before the game.
Oh, wow.
They were all pros. And, like, they would just do a dunk contest. So I got to the game early. Man, I couldn't wait, man, to see these guys. And then I saw Olajuwon run out. Mm-hmm. I saw Clyde Drexler run out. Right then and there, I said, man, I ain't ready for college basketball.
reality check.
I was playing the 4 and the 5. I got to go up against Olajuwon?
No, sir.
No, I say, man, I got – and it was a blessing in disguise for me because I got better, I gained more confidence, and then I learned the two-guard position. You know what I mean? So with my physical play, and then I was practicing and getting my game back on my outside play, it all came together by the time I got to K-State.
Right. And again, that's kind of what you're trying to always like preach, you know, it's the process of becoming great. You know, you're not just going to see something and say, I want to do that. Tomorrow I'll be ready. Like, no, you have to go through that process of seeing what you can, cannot do, doing what you can and cannot do. And then of course, in the future, then if, like you said, it comes together over the years. You know,
it's only a few of those, you know, diamonds in the rough. When you think about guys that go literally from high school, you know, to the pros, you know, you've had your Kevin Garnett's, your Kobe's, your LeBron's and guys of the like. That process in which, again, that's so refreshing to hear that it was an eye opener because, again, you were a realist that you saw, you thought you were ready.
Right, but you weren't ready.
Let me. You know, I coached at St. John's, and that was the one. That was the hardest thing to tell a young kid.
Yeah.
Because you know they see you, they see T.O., they see those guys, and they see them at the top of their level. They're like, man, I can be like that, and they want it so fast. They don't realize that Michael had to take a journey too.
Right.
And I always tell guys, your journey is different. You cannot be like Michael. Your journey cannot be like T.O. or like Hatch or like mine. You have to write your own script and you have to go through it. You have to do the hard work. If you don't do the hard work, shit ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's take a little break. We got to talk about our friends over there at Blue Chew. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Hatch, if you want to be discreet and make a lasting impression, hey, this is the way to go.
Yes, sir. Try the chewables that have the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis.
Hey, like they say, man, first impressions go a long way.
How long do they go?
Yeah, and on top of that, if you want to be discreet, you don't want anybody to know your business, that's the beauty of it. You can get it mailed to your residence, whatever the case may be. They box it up. Nobody has to know.
Nobody knows. And they work faster and get into your bloodstream quicker.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir.
In and out, huh? In and out like that?
Hey, we go pop it quick like popcorn.
Oh, yeah. I'll get it popping, no doubt. Pop them Blue Chewables.
It only takes a few minutes to connect with BlueChew.com. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code GPR. Just pay $5 in shipping.
Yep, yep. And that's go to BlueChew.com. That's BlueChew.com. And remember, first order's free with the promo code GPR. Yep, yep. Let's hatch. Let's pause for the cause for a minute. We also got to talk about our friends over at Keeps.
And did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair.
Yo, Hatch, do you have to go to the doctor to get a prescription for this?
Nope, you sure don't. See, you used to have to go to the doctor's office for hair loss prescriptions. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy to deliver your medication every 3 months. You can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. If you're ready to take action to prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/popcorn.
Receive your first month of treatment free. Go to keeps.com/popcorn. That's KEEPS.com/popcorn.
So again, so you were first rounder coming out of K-State, right? Number 5 pick overall. And again, from a perspective, a fan perspective, you were always out west. Again, you had 23 on. You wasn't Jordan, but we wanted you to be Jordan, but you weren't Jordan because you know, we were Jordan fans.
No question.
But again, you was killing it, but you didn't have a great team around you. Like, how frustrating was that for your first couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think my first 3 years, I had the best team. I mean, as far as like guys playing together, getting along, mm-hmm. even though I won a championship with the Lakers, mm-hmm. That was a fun team, the Run TMC team. Mm-hmm. We got to the playoff twice, and we only needed a couple players.
Right.
Radicum propelled us to be a championship team. But, yeah, coming in, man, it's just you're wide open, and, you know you put in the work in the summertime, and now you want to display it. And then for me, coming from Kansas State, a lot of people didn't know me. So a lot mm-hmm. of people know about the draft pick, and I went number 5. So I was really ready to show people that I could play, and I mm-hmm. was and I played with a chip on my shoulder. So – mm-hmm. Now
back then, I know this is 1988, right?
Yes, 88.
So did they have the lottery then? Were you a lottery pick then, or they just
Yeah, it was a lottery pick then. But back in the day, they don't have it like now, where each and every player that's coming into the draft goes to a summer camp, and they split the guys up. And so when I went into that summer camp at that time with all the players that's supposed to go in the draft, they had me positioned to get drafted between 15 and 25. Because a lot of people didn't see me that much. A lot of people didn't know, and they had 5 other guards in front of me. Mm-hmm. And so,
do you remember those guards?
Who were in front of you? Yeah. It was like Rex Chapman, Hershey Hawkins, a couple of guys.
We always remember who in front of us. We always remember. Yeah.
It was those guys. And then so, but when I left that place, I was at the time, Don Nelson was actually our coach. So they mm-hmm. used to have NBA coaches coach each and every team, and it'd be a tournament for like a week and a half. And so I came out of that averaging like 22 a game.
Oof.
And then that's when they said that I could probably go from either 3 to 8.
Right. So basically that right there, you went to a best of camp based on draft status, and your stock rose.
Right.
In that camp. So yeah, it's always one of those things too. Then too, obviously, like I said, where they paired you, the guys that they paired you with, and then where they projected you, you said 15 to 25.
Right.
A lot of that was probably due to that you went to a JUCO And right. then obviously you went to K-State. It's not right. like now, as you like where we are now, there's so much accessibility, mm-hmm. you know, with tape and recruiting that they obviously, like mm-hmm. said, they you kind of got lost in the shuffle. You didn't have some of those, like, you know, these prime time games right. where, you know, you got Dukes and yeah. the Kentuckys and things of that nature where you were able to kind of be revealed.
Right.
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my junior year gave me confidence. I really wasn't, honest to tell you the truth, man, I really wasn't looking at the pros like that. I found the sport that I really kind of enjoyed, and I loved it, and I was going to do the best I can to try to go as far as I can. And so my junior year, I got asked to try for the World University Games, and it was a lot of guys trying for the World University Games. And so coming from K-State, all these other guys, Arizona, all these big schools, I end up going there and actually pretty much playing very well and actually leading the team, getting picked and leading the team and scoring for the World University. And coach from Duke was the coach. Coach K was the coach. And I think that gave me confidence in my senior year to really kind of like feel like, hey, man, I'm putting in the work. Hey, let's just go all balls out, man, and see what happens.
Right. Yeah, because when you came into the league, you were obviously very confident, right? You came in, won rookie of the year, right? All rookie team and all that stuff. It's like you were – because, again, back in the day, we didn't have all of these channels, like T just said. We didn't have – we couldn't just look at your game on YouTube. Right. Like, if you was on the East Coast, we couldn't watch a West Coast game. Yeah. So you would hear Mitch Richmond, and like you say, you saw the accolades, but we couldn't see you. So right. we didn't even right. get that household name except Run TMC, the marketing of Run TMC. For you guys out there that don't remember that, that was Chris Mullen, of course, Mitch Richmond, and Tim Hardaway. Mm-hmm. It was those were the three. How do you feel that big three stacks up now where they have all these other big threes? Would you guys
be essentially it seems like y'all were the big first, three before that was right. Before right. ever a big three.
No, I think we can match up. I think, you know, that's you look up at it, you look at it. I mean, it's been 30 years ago, bro.
Right. Played,
you know what I mean? That we played that type of pace. And, you know, now these teams are playing that way, but we were playing right. that way back when. And it was a fun way to play because we all got along. We all moved mm-hmm. the ball, and we all knew our roles. And we knew that get the ball to Tim. Run the floor. You mm-hmm. know, Chris Mullen is the sharpshooter. Tim is the guy that's going to handle the ball and get us the ball. I'm going to either post up or I'm going to shoot you from the three. So we worked well together. I think we averaged 72 points in amongst the three of us. So it was just a fun way of playing, man.
If you guys could have stayed together, because mm-hmm. you guys only played 3 years together, right? Right? They broke you guys up. I know you didn't like that. Of course, the whole city didn't like that at Golden State at the time.
Right.
But, like, if you guys could have played 10, 12 years together, how many championships yeah. think you guys could have won?
Well, I don't know how many championships we would have won, but I definitely think we would have been in the mix.
Right.
You know, because
would you got one, you think, in Golden State?
No question about it. Yeah. I think we would have. Because at that time, when I came in the league, man, every team was potent, man. We were playing against grown men. You know what I mean?
Right.
We were playing against,
yeah. Gray beards.
Yeah. You know, we were the guys that ain't have no hairline. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, because
as young boys, I think you look at it now, the whole league is young. The whole league is young, but we were coming in when Portland was at their best with Clyde and Porter and all those guys that they had over there, mm-hmm. and you know, and Michael, you know, in Chicago and New York, and it was just so many great players all around the league. But just like you say, a lot of them wasn't known. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was great mm-hmm. players.
Well, again, so after you left Golden State, went to Sacramento. Again, your scoring was going up again, but you as the Sacramento as a team. Again, you guys weren't up, you know, in the top four in the conference. You guys weren't going playing many playoff games. It's always interesting to hear a perspective from a great player, like when you weren't on a great team. You want your games to be the big games. You want to be in the finals and in the conference finals, stuff like that. Like, so how was that experience in Sacramento, not knowing that you weren't getting, you know, probably weren't going to make it to the championship at the end of the season?
That was probably the hardest time in my career. You know, I really didn't feel like I was in the league. I felt like when I left Golden State, man, we were on the rise. It was fun basketball. People really still didn't know Golden State, mm-hmm. but they were coming around. And then I get traded to Sacramento, and it was a young team. really unprepared. Front office was all over the place. And I had never, ever lost. Like any season that I played, you know, we always had a winning record. And to go to Sacramento and then start losing and then be known as a loser, man, that's tough to take, especially you had a sport where you think that you want to be at your best. And, you know, you done made it to the league, you done made it to the top of the sport, and you playing, you know, with a team that's a dud. I mean, man, that was hard to take each and every night.
Because like as receivers, as like, I'm bringing it to T, because as receivers, especially T, you know, we can only do so much. We need the quarterback to throw us the ball. We need the lineman to block. Right. But in basketball, I just feel like you're in more of a control, right? There's only five guys. You can have the ball in your hand as much as you want. Mm-hmm. Like, why didn't you shoot more? Like, why didn't you have the Kobe shot, obviously, a lot, right? You never shot like Kobe shot. You never shot like Michael shot. But, again, your shooting percentage was high. 22 points a game when you're at Sacramento is great. But you could have averaged 32 points a game, but you still feel like that wouldn't have got you guys the win?
Well, I think it's a combination of a little something like this. Well, Kobe came in with Shaq, Eric Jones, Van Exel, all these guys that you have to pay attention to them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when people are paying attention to me, they're running. Sometimes they would run double teams at me. They'll run three guys at me. Mm. And so it was hard. I don't want to take a bad shot. You know what I mean? Right. I got to find out through the whole scheme of to take a good shot. But each and every night, man, it was difficult. Like trying to maneuver that, because then I got better each and every time. I got smarter at it. I got better at it. I knew how to handle double teams. But each and every night, man, they were running somebody at me. So they were limiting my shot. So I had to find ways to get to the free throw line. And I had to find ways when that double team is coming, how do I get a foul on a big guy when he's running up towards me? I got to act like I'm going to try to go around him and get a foul. And then now that slows him down a little bit. I get to the free throw line. Now he's not going to come as hard. So it was so many kind of ways that I tried. I had to play. And that was hard playing. You want to play with other talent, because then you have to watch them too. And then you can also do your thing. That's why it was so much easier when I played with the Warriors.
I mean, with Hatch's question, I mean, I'm thinking too, when he asked that question, right, I didn't see you as a high volume type of shooter.
Right.
Obviously, like I said, you know, coaches are going to put you in the best position to win. So again, when you describe the TMC with you, you, Tim, and Chris, and you was like, you know, Tim ran the floor,
right,
you know, Chris was a sharpshooter,
right,
and then you posted up and you played outside as well on the perimeter. So right, you guys pretty much covered all of the bases in which, you know, you guys were being successful. Well, I think what was interesting, you know, hearing you talk about, you know, going from losing, you know, at Golden State, and then you go to Sacramento Kings, and right, you've never really lost before. Can you share a little bit about that mental aspect of, you know, how you had to adjust to go from winning and losing? And then my second one is, you know, knowing that you were starting to lose, did you not put the team success, you know, as a priority, and then start going for individual success? Because I heard you say that your scoring and everything stayed on par. Right. So with that being said, it's like, did you kind of sacrifice the team goals versus right, individual?
No, that's a good question. And I think I can answer that this way, is that and you've seen it in the Mike documents, and it's a whole different mentality that Mike had, but all the players have. Mike had it in the sense of that he was playing a game within the game. So he had to get mad at the guy that was in front of him. You know what I mean? Right. He had a great team. He knew that they were going to win. But what was going to get him motivated was the guy that he had to hate in front of him. I took on the same thing, is that it wasn't the guy that I hate, but I knew that he was trying to take something from me. I knew that if I didn't play hard, it was going to be easy for them to just trap me and I give up the ball and I do that. So gosh, I wanted to make sure that I was going to guard you hard on defense, and I was going to give you everything I had on offense. And so what I had to play, I had to play a game within the game, because we were losing. But the one thing I didn't want to do is that I had started so well my whole career, I wanted to continue to keep that consistency, and that's when you'll be a great player. And so I worked hard, and I said that I'm not going to, because people were looking at me as saying I'm going to Sacramento, then I'm just going to be just an average guy now. But if I continue to keep playing and keep pushing and keep working on my game and show that each and every night, even though I wouldn't even look at the score sometimes, T. I wouldn't even look at the score because I knew you're losing.
Yeah, you know you're losing. Just play hard.
And guys would be like, damn, man, you play hard as shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I had to play that way because I had to get that respect. And then that's what I had to take on because I knew I was losing. I had to play a game within the game. I wouldn't even look at it. And I couldn't really kind of not play with the team because then that's the ill-advised shots that I'm talking about. So it was a way for me that I had to really kind of incorporate them, try to encourage them. I wasn't a guy that really kind of get down on guys, but I would tell you at times of what you need to do and this and that. So I kind of like most.
You ain't never cursed nobody out though.
Yeah, led by example. Later on, I did.
Who you remember cursing out?
Shit, OP all the time. Old
Apollonies. Old Apollonies. That's our guy. You got on him.
Oh, every time, man, all the fighters would be in the locker room ready to fight all the time.
So other elements of your game, so the leadership, other characteristics of your game started to flourish or blossom outside, going to a new team, taking on different characters, egos and stuff in the locker room, different players.
Yeah, man, it was tough, man, because like. I at that time the organization was not moving in the right direction.
Right.
So then each and every day, like I'm gonna tell you, like T, you did it where you like shit, you want out some places, right?
Right.
I was doing that, but I was doing it quietly. You know.
Give the audience an example of doing it quietly. Like, is that
so? You doing it behind closed doors?
Running up to the office every day before practice and say, "Hey, man, damn, man.
Hey, what we doing? What we doing?
Can you get me out of this joint, man? Come on, man, get me up out." I tell you a funny story. When I got traded, I didn't know the rules, right? I remember calling my agent when they traded me so dirty.
When they traded you to Sacramento.
Traded me to Sacramento, yes. And it was the opening season of my third season. It was the opening of the game. We're in Denver, and I knew that I had been, you know, traded because it was at that time Don Nelson was the general manager and the
head coach.
And that's terrible. And he was drinking. So you know, it wasn't together. So right. I knew my name had been out there, but I'm like, okay, cool. If you're gonna trade me, if I get to Boston, if I get to New York, oh, it's on. You know what I mean? And so I can remember getting ready to go down to the bus for the first game. Don Nelson calls my phone in the hotel. I pick up the phone. He said, "Can you come down to my room?" I said, "Oh shit, this motherfucker." I said, "This motherfucker gonna trade." So I go down there. He got the latch on the door, and you know them old hotels where they used to have the air condition in the back by the window.
Right.
So he's sitting on the air condition, and I walk in. And the only thing I said to them, I said, "Man, don't tell me you traded me to Sacramento." and he said, "I traded you to Sacramento." I slammed the fucking door and said, "Yeah, thank you, bro. I appreciate it."
When
traded me to Sac, man?
When was the first time you seen him since he traded you? And what did you say
Every time I seen him, he got something for me, homie. Every time I seen him. Every time I see him, he tried to talk to me. He tried, I was like, man, nothing. I will
like customize. Just deuces.
Huh?
Just deuces. Oh. You don't want to hear.
I would say some shit under my breath that only he can hear. No question about it. No question about it. Oh, I was pissed. Come on. Yeah. I was pissed. Yeah. And it was only because I wouldn't sign. I was becoming a free agent.
Mm-hmm. And he knew you was going to get out anyway.
I knew he was going to get out. I can remember him coming to me. Man, in the airport one day and saying, "Hey, man, do you want to be here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do want to be here. Yeah, I love this team. I love it." He's like, Why are you not signing an extension? Why are you not signing? I'm like, I said, okay. So at that time, Chris Mullin, he had just gave Chris Mullin $3 million a year. right? I think 3.1, something like that. And I said to him, I posed a question. I said, who do you think is the best player on the team? And he said, I think Chris. And then I think, you know, you'll comment like that. I said, well, if you think I'm the second best player on the team, give me $3 million.
Right.
Yeah. Give him 3.1.
Give me three. Yeah.
Give me $3 million. He was offering me like 1.8, 1.9. And what I said to him, I said, listen, I want to be here, but I'm going to show you that I deserve that money.
So right, you're worth it. Yeah.
I'm worth it. So don't trade me. I'm going to show you. It's not saying that I don't want to be here. It's saying that, motherfucker, I'm not going to take 1.9. I'm not going to take 1.8.
Right.
So he traded me, and then that's when, I hate him ever since.
Wow. We got NBA Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond in the building. Okay, so you went so Sacramento Kings 7 years, right? Then after that, you went to the Wizards.
Right. With the who? Now,
went to the Wizards after Sacramento.
I played over there.
The Bucks.
You're right now.
Washington. No, you're right.
I'm gonna say because 1968 was the Bullets.
No, it was the Wizards.
Was it the Wizards? Okay, but before that, they were the Washington. Okay,
yeah. It was a tough time at that particular.
And that wasn't again. That you kind of again. You played 10 years in the NBA. They weren't winning the championship. You know what a championship team looks like. Right. And after that, you decided to go ahead and take, you know, your talents to Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, came out to the Lakers. You got a ring. Now, of course, from a perspective, from looking back, especially like a role player like I was, from players that were all-stars, future Hall of Famer, you're on a team. You're about to win a championship.
Right.
But you're not contributing like you were at Sacramento and Golden State.
Right.
What's that, you know, that inner turmoil within yourself saying, man, I want to do more. I'm not doing more, but we're winning.
Well, Phil heard that too, homie. I was up with Phil too. Like, yo, man. Like, so I can remember I was playing probably about 18 minutes a game at the beginning of the year, you know, and he was like, I'm going to play you 20 minutes because it was.
That's what Phil Jackson told you.
Phil Jackson told me, you know, he's going to play me 18 to 20 minutes a game. I'm like, cool, I can handle that. You know, you got a young star in Kobe coming out. I can play my 20. I'm going to be out of this thing in probably 2-3 years. So whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, then he stopped playing me. And he told me that he's just going to rest me for the playoffs. And I'm like, I say, man, who you, what? I'm like,
I smell a rat.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. You gonna rest me? I like, first of all, I gotta get in tune.
I gotta get in shape.
Yeah, I gotta get in shape, but I gotta get ready. I gotta get tuned up for the playoff. You can't do that. So he would come down at the end of the bench at times, and it would be like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. He'd say, Mitch, you want to play? I said, man, you ain't played the whole damn game. Play them y'all for. I ain't fucking getting out there fucking dribbling the ball off my foot. Like, man, come on, man. All right. You know I'd have been in the last 4 minutes trying to get 20.
So already,
every time, so I'm like, no.
Hey, you would have become a high volume shooter.
Yeah, then he would have. You ain't lying.
Exactly. So I'm like, nah, man, I'm not. And then so when that happened, he didn't play me. So in the playoff, he didn't play me. So for me, like, that's a good question because what I looked at and how what helped me to kind of get through that because I knew I could play, I knew I can contribute, I knew I could help the team. But what helped me get through that time, even though it was tough times, was that I can remember the guys that played behind me when I was in Sacramento, when I was at the top of my game, when I was at Golden State, I was at the top of my game, and what the type of friendship that we had when they were going to the game before me, I would try to cheer them on. So, and when I was in the game, they would cheer me on. So I'm like, yo, man, I'm going to pay that back. I'm going to be
paying forward.
Like, playing like those guys. Like they was cheering me on, I'm gonna cheer this team on, even though that I'm not playing, and because you know I felt like I'm worthy of it. But hey, you know I'm in a position that I played a long time, and it's probably passing me by.
Right.
So yeah. So to piggyback Hatcher's question, so winning a championship, knowing that you really didn't play a lot or you didn't contribute, does that the inside of you? Do you feel like a champion? Do you feel like a champion considering? Like I said, your body of work, does that factor in you feeling like you're a champion versus what the reality of you not really playing?
True, true. That's a good question. Yeah, me feeling like a champion of my body of work. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And no question about it. I tell you, do you see a ring on this finger right now? No.
No.
I don't wear it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't wear it, but I got it. And it's
proud
to be on my resume. And the one thing, like, I really don't like how the media sometimes portray guys and forget right. about the guys that were so dang good but mm-hmm. didn't get the championship. And right. the guys that did get a championship, you put them in a place where they're just –
they're glorified.
You glorify them. And, like, and sometimes the role player is right. more known than one of the stars on another team.
Somebody that has got to have a body of work or they're exactly. like yourself.
No question. I already know. No question. So that, in a sense, I just don't think that we always need to kind of like, yeah, these guys win championship, but you got to, it's been great players come throughout this league, man, that didn't win a championship. And
absolutely.
You know how hard and how lucky you got to be to win a championship because there's so many great athletes, just like football.
Yeah.
You know, it's somebody else. You know what I mean?
The stars got to line up.
So, yeah, so I think you just got to glorify the players, man, that play this game and play it at a top level. And continue to keep doing it at a consistent pace.
Absolutely, I think that's my clap back to a lot of fans that right. you know that try to you know go after me because I played you know so many years and I didn't win a championship or what have you. And as Hash just said, sometimes you know guys are just lucky. Some guys yep. are just they win in high school, they win in college, yes. and they get in the pro, they still win. Yes. And then again, to Hash's point. Sometimes you just find yourself on a team and you're just in the right place at the right time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And for me, I try to tell people, and there's a lot of players, and to your point, Mitch, that, you know, there are guys that are up and coming now that I guess in our era or this era where they're not like superstars, but they're well known. They're talked about more so than guys that have played the game,
yes.
you know, well before them. That are, you know, that hasn't won championship, but they got more notoriety. So my clap back is always, you know, to a lot of these guys that try to come at me, well, you don't have a championship ring. Maybe I don't, but that doesn't deter
my numbers.
Really, right.
Look at my numbers.
Right. And you can't dispute that I didn't play like a champion.
That's
so
right.
For me, that's how I look at it. Yeah, granted, we all want to win a championship. That's why we play the game, especially right. the ultimate is to win a championship, but we're not always fortunate.
Yeah.
I take this back to what you said a little bit earlier when you said you only played 3 years with the Golden State Warriors
right.
and y'all made the playoffs only twice.
Right.
And then you think about what you said is like, oh man, if we would have had a couple more players,
right.
maybe we could have won. So
yeah.
that's the same thing, same concept, same mindset that I had too. Like maybe if I would have played with a couple better players here and there, maybe I would have won.
Right.
That's the same way in a lot of these basketball games now. And even when you play, Mitch, guys that are kind of like on the bubble, on the cusp, and just mm-hmm. need one or two more players. You think about OKC,
right.
what they had when they had Russ, they had James Harden, they had KD.
Everybody.
Right. They didn't win the championship. Then
right.
they kind of got broken up. And it's kind of like where Houston Rockets are right now.
Right.
Before even Russ came over, they need like
a
one
piece.
Or two more players.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They yeah. were trying, they were kind of, it's like a puzzle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying
mm-hmm.
to do a little bit of that. They brought, you know, Chris Paul in, brought a few other players in, Fareed, this and that and the other, but it just didn't happen. So man, to your point, we don't necessarily have to have a championship, but yeah, that's the ultimate goal. But you shouldn't feel less of yourself, and
right.
I don't, because
right.
I didn't win a championship.
Yeah.
I played in the Super Bowl. We came up short, but like I said, I can only do what I can do.
What you do, that's right. And then sometimes it just don't even line up for you because,
right.
you know
right.
what I mean? You go to a team, but people don't understand the mindset of an athlete.
Right.
Even when you go into a season, you look at your team, even though another team has just won in the Super Bowl, but you like, you know what? If everything go right, shit,
we got a chance. We got a chance. Yeah.
We got that right. Same chance. Listen, I was in Sacramento saying that at times. If by 15 people go down,
we good.
We got a chance. Keep playing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Keep that mentality. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Being that you just said that, what team now? Like I said, we have the NBA. They're playing down in Orlando. They're playing
in the bubble. Mm-hmm.
And one of the teams that I think that's going to surprise some people.
Right.
And this guy, the last few nights, he has kind of – he has lit it up. And right. Damian Lillard or the Portland Trailblazers, he kind of fits this scenario in which we're discussing. That,
yes, okay, absolutely.
Right.
They may have a chance. They put all these pieces together. Everything is aligned. And you think about CJ plays well. He plays well. He does what he does. You think about Carmelo. They got Nurkic that's coming back from injury.
Back. Yeah.
Yep. These guys could push one of these top seeds, you know, and upset them. What do you think about, you know, the Portland Trail Blazers, you know, their chances?
No question about it. Like the bubble and what has happened is really helped the Portland Trail Blazers. They got healthy, you know what I mean, and they got a chip on their shoulder. And Damian Lillard is just playing unbelievable. Hopefully McCollum can get through, because I heard he's playing with a fractured back, and that's
right.
I know that.
Back. Yeah, he's playing with a fractured back. So, and I think another up and coming team that plays as a team is OKC. OKC is just really kind of with Chris Paul. He got them young players playing defense. They're playing together. They have a 3-point guard ahead that they just moving that ball, man, and attacking you. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the bubble. I'm enjoying that basketball is back, no question about it. But we're just gonna have to wait and see. But Lillard is a beast. He's a beast.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like his game is kind of like my game. You know what I'm saying? Like
I just lost. I can't hear you. something just went out.
Okay, so Mitch, we're on the show. We do this start one, bench one, cut one.
Okay.
On the show, right? So I'm going to give you a couple scenarios. Okay. So just as a shooter alone, right? Start one, bench one, cut one. Larry Bird.
Okay.
Chris Mullins, Reggie Miller.
Oh my God, man! Come on, man!
Hey, that's how we do it, baby.
Come on, dog.
We gotta do it, dog.
That's so disrespectful, man.
Hey, you gotta start one. You gotta bench one. You gotta cut one. What you go
do
with them?
I'm gonna. Well, all of these guys was in their prime.
In their prime.
I came out with an uppercut.
I'm gonna start one. I'm gonna bench one.
And you got a cut.
Then I'm gonna pass out. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start one, pass out, and then I'm out. I don't know.
Okay, I'll give you an easier one. I'll give you an easier one. Okay, let's go. College basketball.
Okay.
Right in the right when they was good. UNLV starting five.
Okay.
The Fab Five.
Okay.
Or the Illinois Five when they had Bardo, Kendall Gill, and all of them.
Oh, they were nice.
Yeah. Nice. Which one? Start one, bench one, cut one.
And okay, so who is this? The Fab Five?
Fab Five, UNLV, and Illinois.
Okay, woo! I would go because UNLV was winning championships.
Running rails, baby.
I'm gonna start them.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to bench the Fab Five.
Okay.
And Illinois is gonna sit it out.
You go say, oh, okay. All right. You didn't like the Kendall Gill and them boys?
Well, I love Kendall Gill and them boys. I love them. But that's your bench. In the UNLV. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Start, bench, and cut. He's cutting the Fab Five. He's benching Illinois. And he's starting to run the rails.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got one more. I'm going to make this a little bit tougher, right? Okay. From the point guard position.
Okay.
Woohoo. Right? John Stockton.
Oh, man.
Gary Payton.
Oh, man.
Right? Or your boy, Tim Hardaway.
Oh!
Start one, bench one, Payton. Cut one.
My screen just went out.
Tim Hardaway.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
What you gonna do? Huh? Yeah, you got it. This one you got to answer. We gave you a pass on the first one. You got to answer this one, B.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could have said Beyonce. Rihanna.
I'm saying, like, listen, man, this is Ashanti. Hard. This is hard because it can go either way. You know what I mean? Because both of them, my boy, and I love, I played with John Stockton, played with Gary Payton in the Olympics.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So let us help your, let me help your scenario.
Okay. All right.
You're the head coach. Y'all yes. going into the playoffs. You're the head yes. coach. Y'all going right. into the right. playoffs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got to start somebody and you got to bring somebody off the bench. And then we already know after just starting the bench, we know who you could. So you got to start one, and you then got you got it. One coming off the bench. You're there the head you coach.
Listen, this guy's the all-time leading assist guy.
So okay, but, okay then. What you going to do with him?
So you're the head coach. That's what I'm saying. You're the head coach.
Because just that's ladies and
so nobody would ever have this situation. No one.
You were in scouting in the NBA, right? You were the coach at St. John's University. This is a
right. You know what? I'm just gonna say I made a mistake. Okay. I am going to start Tim Hardaway, bring Gary off the bench, and I might just stop.
Oh, the welcome to
get your popcorn ready.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
T.O. and Hatch, we got our guy Hall of Famer.
Hey, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign John Stockton to a quiet deal. And if I'm bringing him back. You know? That was a friendship call right there.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
Okay, I got already. You. I got you.
Already. Yeah.
So what do you think? Obviously, we touched on a little bit about the playoff format. Obviously, the restart of the NBA. They're in the bubble.
Yeah.
What have you liked about the restart so far? And can you explain to me, like I said, I'm a basketball mind. I don't think right. other people would probably think this way. But you've seen, I guess, that the shooting percentages, they're higher since right, the restart. Absolutely. And my idea of why their percentages are high is because everybody's shooting in the same gym, same senior. It's mm-hmm. not changing.
Right.
Nobody is traveling.
Right.
So there's no tired leg. There's no nothing. So right. I think that in my mind, that's what's contributing to some of the higher shooting percentages. But my first question is, what do you think about the restart of the NBA?
I think a little bit of that goes into that, no question about it. Each knowing your surroundings, you plan mm-hmm. each and every night. I think a lot of it, though, is that these guys are mentally prepared. Like, you got so many things that you have to worry about when you're going to arena, the ticket,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Family, like, travel, all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you're gonna sit your girlfriend over there and your other girlfriend over there. I'm just saying.
Is that what they do in the NBA?
No, I'm just saying, that's not me. I'm just talking in the thing. They're in the bubble, they're young guys. You see, they've been trying. You see, they've been trying to push some girls in there already. Okay,
I heard. No, fans only.
No fans only. But yeah, and I think you get the raw. I think you get the rawness of the guys. Now you hear the talking. You see the competitiveness. It ain't no more. You're looking in the stands and see if your friends or what actor is there or what this and that. Like these guys are in tune. And even this break has gotten these guys to get in better shape. You know what I mean? Right. Gave their body a rest. Yeah. And like, you think about it, if you can do that each and every season to kind of rest your body a little bit and come back fresh, I mean.
Oh, he'd be a dog.
You'll be awesome. But yeah, but I think it's a little bit of what you're saying, but it's also a little bit of these guys just focusing in, man, that they don't have to worry about what's on the outside of going in.
Yeah. To your point, I think what the NBA has done is really minimize a lot of the distractions, obviously, like I said, less travel, all of those things, fans, as you said, the extracurriculars, the wives, the mistresses and things of that nature. But I've seen on TV, they're implementing, I guess, a protocol for the playoffs where they're going to have a number of
family,
family members, this and that and the other. So let's see if this tinkers or this messes up what I think was, something good,
think about it. Some of those guys after games or before games, they in the mall the whole damn time. You know what I mean?
Right.
They going to buy their shoes. They going over here. They going to get a haircut over here. You know what I mean? Now, I want to go to the dealership, man, and look at this car. You know what I mean? I'm going to go over here. And by the time the game, their legs are tired. Now, you have no excuse for coming out and busting your butt. You know what I mean?
I have a question about Zion. Because I was rooting for Zion. And obviously, like I said, pre-bubble, I saw and I heard about what great shape he was in.
Right.
And then all of a sudden,
he don't the look restart, like it.
And then he didn't look nothing like what as advertised or what everybody was reporting.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think there's something there? What is that all about?
Yeah, he got. Listen, he got to get a control of it. It's like this: when you like to eat and you become and you all of a sudden come into money.
You can eat anytime you want.
Anytime, anything, and nobody ain't got to question you. You ain't got nobody at Duke trying to check your weight. You know what I mean? You could be ordering pizza all night. Like you when you become in the NBA or the NFL, you're a grown man. Nobody really checks on you on that side.
Right.
Just come to practice and making sure that I hope you did the right thing before you got here. Like just like you said, I heard that he was in the best shape of his life.
That ain't it.
Like, and still, how
not he what I saw.
Yeah, still high. No, he's definitely heavy. He's gonna have to get down about 260. No question about it, to be a beast. 285, 295 is too heavy.
Because it's like when I'm watching it, I'm looking at him like, and they're saying you let him play more, right? He's only playing 5 minutes, 6 minutes, right. And all the commentators and on social media are like, no, let him play more. And I'm like, he barely making it to 5 minutes.
He hit five minutes and he bent over.
He ain't gonna make it.
think about what he did. Think about his game. His game is that second effort.
Right.
From carrying that weight, he cannot do that second effort. Yes. There's times where his second jump was higher than his first. And now you're seeing him, his second jump is lower than his first.
He's one of those.
Well, yeah, you can't get up there. So definitely they said that they got a hell of a plan for him this
off season. I hope so, man. We need
got it all set for him because yeah, all of us, man, we're pulling for him because one thing about he's such a good kid and he's a great teammate. Everybody loves playing with him. He plays unselfishly. So we're all rooting for him, no doubt about that.
There it is.
We got Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond here. I don't know how much longer we got, but I want to kind of touch on a few things. And, you know, we touched on your career from high school and that path, but I don't know if I missed it. Maybe Hatch asked it. Who was your idol? Who was that guy that basically influenced you, or you know, once you went from football and you saw that you picked up basketball and that was sort of like your passion, who did you kind of like pattern your game after, or you saw in your mind was like your favorite basketball player, and then you say, okay, I want to play in the NBA?
Yeah, I think it changed throughout my throughout my childhood. I think when I was young, I really didn't look at athletes like that. You know what I mean? I looked at my godfather, my dad, but he was in the service. And so I loved how they carried themselves. And so for football, when I started loving football, the Dallas Cowboys was my team. You know what I mean? That blue and gray, when I was a kid, my mom got me that star helmet. And I was like, man, I'm a
lost cow. Your mind.
Right. Yeah. I lost my mind. I'm like, man. And then once I started looking at football, I really and truly loved Tony Dorsett. Tony Dorsett was my guy. You know what I mean? Like, so when he got a chance to go to the Cowboys, I was like, oh my God, the Cowboys? Yeah. So Cowboys and the guys you talk about. So when I start watching basketball, Dr. J was the guy that I really kind of tried to emulate, not necessarily your game. You try to do that on the street ball. But more so than anything, I really kind of like how he carried himself. Like how he was charismatic. You know, he was chill. He was cool. You know, you couldn't get him. You couldn't fluster him. So I kind of went to him. And then, you know, in junior college, watching Michael Jordan with his what he was doing. I really liked it, Michael Jordan, but I really liked the guy by the name of Len Bias.
I was hearing stories about this guy was gonna be like the next Michael before MJ.
Bro, yeah. he was unbelievable. He was 6'8", jumped to the gym. Mm-hmm. He had an 18-foot jump shot, man, that nobody could get to. He would just drive to the baseline, pull up, and seven-footers would try to block it. He just shoot right over there. He had a soft touch. And so that was the one guy. I remember when driving to go work out and listening to the radio, and they told me that he had passed because we had just watched the draft. Mm-hmm. Man, I cried like a baby that because that's the one reason I wanted to go to Maryland. Lynn Bias. And so, yeah, so I say Lynn Bias. And, that's it. So I didn't really kind of – nobody kind of felt like how I played. I came from football, so I didn't really see
anything. Right. Yeah, how you described all that, man, that's how Hatch, you know, that's how he is.
Hatch described you.
Yeah, man. So I get it, dog. I
blasphemy.
It was like deja vu.
Blasphemy.
Hey, that's why I was kind of frozen, dog. I'm like, man, this sounds just like what Hatch, how he describes me. I'm like, man.
Hey, again. So you know, you're watching all the highlights every week. You know, see who balling out, whatever. And
you froze?
I was never like good friends like we are now. But right. I remember the only time I'm froze.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah, go back.
Okay, so it's like you know, we're watching, you know, the highlights every week about, you know, I said this player's doing what, whatever. I was always watching T, like I knew him, but we weren't, you know, good friends like we are now.
Right.
But the one time that I was like, yo, that was some hot, that's something I would want to do. That's somebody I would want to be right now is when he went to Dallas and he stood on the star the first time. I lost my mind. Again, I'm not a fan because.
Very disrespectful.
The moment in sports history was ultimate, the number one disrespectful thing ever in sports, and I loved it. I lost my mind, dog. If we had Twitter on that one day, that would have broke the internet. Would have broke the internet.
Hey, so you about to? So I already know what you about to say, Mitch Richmond. Being that you was a Cowboy
fan,
you probably hear all that.
But it was bittersweet, though, King. It was bittersweet because I was in the Bay Area when you were balling.
Right.
I was in the Bay Area when you were balling, and I was a fan too. Like, man, this fucking nice. You know what I mean? But when you did that to the Cowboys, man,
I hate them. I hate them.
What's up with that, man? You don't do that to the cat. You don't do that.
But I
tell you though, the thing that you did when you went to Philadelphia and you played in the playoffs, dog, with a messed up ankle.
Yep.
I was like, man, ain't no way, cause boy, if nobody could get close to my ankle when it was sprained. Like, I'd be like, oh no.
Honestly, I ain't gonna tell no lie. That was probably the thing that was in my mind the most, that I feared most is that somebody going down to tackle me on my ankle.
Right.
So if you saw, like if you watch, like even now when I watch the game, I see highlights, bro, trust me, I was trying to pick them feet up and put them down as fast as I could. And if you saw, every time I was on that sideline,
I got north
and south as much as I could, but I dipped out of bounds.
Tell you what, it's like all that's your toughness, right? Your mental toughness, toughness of being a football player. So, of course, Mitch, you're one of the tougher NBA guys, obviously. Like you, Allen Iverson, you guys all had to pass a playing football, which made you tougher compared to a basketball player. Right. And so, audience, right? Anybody out there that you guys go and talk to an NBA player, they all have the same answer when it comes to them talking about, do they want to play football? They all have the same story. I played when I was younger. Mm-hmm. The first time I got hit, I quit.
I didn't say that, homie.
No, I'm saying 99.9% of all the players, they all played one play. You know what I'm saying? And they said, I got hit and I was done. But everybody who kept playing, you can tell that physical toughness is just different. AI played the game different than, you know, other point guards. You played the game a lot more physical.
Yeah.
LeBron plays the game a lot more physical. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell who put on a football uniform and played basketball as well in high school.
Yeah, well, that is saying that it don't knock you off your game. Football don't know, like when you go to football and the whole time is all competition.
Yeah.
And
contact, when, yeah.
You know, it's contact, it's pushing, it's shoving, it's always somebody trying to get an edge on each other. So when you come to basketball, that's normal. Like,
yep.
I mean, shoot, I mean, you ain't gonna beat me at that. I mean, yeah. I done been against the best, the hardest, the toughest. Each and every night you get your butt whooped, you get back up. So mm-hmm. ain't no way, like, the mental toughness is going to be a factor when I go to basketball. That's just yeah. what it was.
Okay, so man, I know me and T, of course, big Jordan fans, and we all on here watched The Last Dance.
Yes,
what was going through your mind when you watched The Last Dance? Did it take you back to a story, mm-hmm. A time when you played Michael, or did it kind of bring you more current on you've enjoyed this time going watching Michael throughout this process?
Man, I think all of it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, kids don't understand how great of a team that was and how great he was. Right. Like, listen, I was one of the first guys to wear Jordans.
Mm-hmm.
And
while you're playing in the NBA.
And I'm playing in the NBA and I'm wearing
his shoes. Right.
Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, come right. on, man, you don't get those. I'm like, wow. Damn, can I get a pair of them, dog? So I was wearing Jordans. I was a member of the Team Jordan team, but still, like with me and Mike would battle and we would never talk. And so people like in the Last Dance when he's talking about people are talking to him and this and that, we never talk. We was always just used to go at each other.
Competition, yeah.
It was just competition. I just learned that through football. It ain't about to talk. It just, you gotta go out and do it. And mm-hmm. If you didn't make Michael play you on defense, on offense, like if I'm got mm-hmm. the ball and he will murder
chilling.
Yeah, yeah. He would just be chilling and get rest. It's mm-hmm. kind of like what James Harden do. He don't play no D. He's all for the O. Like, okay. Michael was that one guy, though, that played both ends. So you had to respect his game because he's going to try to kill you on the offensive end, but mm-hmm. he's also going to try to shut you down. You know what I mean? So people don't understand. Listen, I was a fan within the game. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Right.
But he wasn't going to know that. No question.
Absolutely.
Like, we were going to play hard and we was going to go at each other. That's how it was.
Okay, I got one last question.
Okay,
and we're here with six-time NBA All-Star Mitch Richmond, five-time All-NBA team, 1989 Rookie of the Year, and 2002 NBA champion with the Lakers, and you got inducted into the Hall of Fame 2014.
Right.
So, being that you just mentioned one of these guys that I'm going to ask you kind of the difference between, you mentioned Michael Jordan, you played in that era, played against him. And so you played on the championship team with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You being an NBA player, you saw both.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In your best way possible, can you tell us and our listeners, can you give me a little something and share with me and Hatch, like, what is the difference between those two? Because everybody has said that they're so eerily similar. I was just watching just something on Instagram. They were showing some highlights and they had some computer generated technology where they had Michael doing moves and then Kobe was doing the same thing.
Right.
They basically said if you just put on different jerseys or whatever, you wouldn't be able to tell who was who. Right. So in your estimation, in your best way, give us a little something that you feel like was a little bit different, what made them so
great. The only thing different I could say, because Kobe patterned his game. Everything he did was behind Michael Jordan. And so for me, in a little context, I would say the difference between them is their names. That's it.
right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, Kobe wouldn't even tell you when he was playing that he was looking at Michael Jordan tapes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't tell you that he was talking to Mike. He wouldn't mm-hmm. tell you all those things. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he was really looking at Michael as, hey, I want to be like him. He did the tongue. He did the hand. He did all of those things like Michael. I think the difference is, I mean, I'm just saying, Michael, no doubt about it, he's the man.
Greatest.
No one can ever top what Mike. He had done. And Mike. Even the things that Kobe has done, and I put him one and two. I don't put him above.
Everybody just overlooks his body of work, and they just want to just put LeBron into that category.
LeBron's not in that category.
Oh no, it's just a dip because I'm a LeBron fan too. But it's it's a way that you have to go about and put LeBron, you know, in a category. LeBron is in. LeBron was like Michael. LeBron, you could put in a category. He's in his own category. He's in his own category because of the things. He's not a scorer, but he's probably end up one of the leading scorers in this league that's ever seen. He can he can assist. He's strong. He's mentally.
I mean, I say LeBron is
the thing that was kind of like early in his career that he was really not solid on his mental capacity.
Right. But, I just said when they talk about comparison, I'll say what LeBron has the nod in over MJ and Kobe. It's like he's the best. He's the best athlete.
Yes.
Basketball.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. 6'8", 245 as an athlete.
And
yeah.
Has not. I mean, you gotta. This guy has not gotten hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so he's a freak athlete, and that's what you said. You put him in as like the best athlete, but you talk about mentally strong.
Michael.
First of all, I got to find out what was Mike. I think Mike, I texted him, and he was drinking that, you know, I got to get back with him. Because when
that
he
cognac?
Drinking, well, he was drinking that what is that tequila? That's his tequila. He was drinking. Boy, he was.
That was some yak. That was brown. That was.
Hey, he was telling it all.
Telling it all.
Hey, he was drinking that truth serum. Boy,
he was I'm like, man. Hey,
with that 3-foot cigar.
Send me a case.
Oh, that good.
Yeah.
But no, we appreciate you coming on, Mitch, though, man. Like I said, talk a little basketball. Like, we're just trying to go ahead and keep everything positive. We know with COVID and the movement, everything going on out there, we're just trying to keep everything, you know, up and just up positive and across the world, man. You know what I'm saying?
Who's your NBA champion for 2020?
Man. I'm gonna go with the Clippers.
Clippers, okay, they have it.
Hey, everybody's riding with the Clippers. So, do you think it's going to be a huge disappointment if they don't win this year? Because everybody is giving them the nod because
I don't think it'll be a huge disappointment because I mean, they still got to go and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they still got to go and do it. And the freak, he ain't playing.
Giannis ain't playing.
Andre,
Boston has been playing very, very well.
Yeah.
You know, so
Toronto's playing well. Yeah.
So it ain't gonna be easy. I think the Lakers are a very talented team. I think they might have enough, but I don't know. They need more.
Their bench, their depth is gonna hurt.
They need guard play because when Clippers come off the bench, they coming with guards, bro, and they coming with guards that can
with points.
Yeah, they coming with buckets.
Lou Jackson, Beverly. Yeah,
they coming with it. So. We'll see. But hey, you don't understand that we always do this, us three. We don't do it. It's never a camera around.
Yeah, we go clown and have fun and we go bag. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I love it. Hey, Mitch, this is the most I've ever heard you talk.
I know. I don't talk. I know.
He's a mime.
Hey, I know the last time we used to run into each other, we had Katana, we chopping it up, we having a good time.
Yeah.
It's always good fellowship, man. So, man, again, like I said, man, we appreciate you. I know I have, just to kind of get in the basketball mind of you, because like I said, I've admired you from afar. We haven't really talked about that.
Yeah,
especially when you talk about Run TMC. I used to hear about you guys all the time. They're being in the Bay Area. Like I said, I used to come to some of those games. I used to be up in there. I was up in the nosebleeds. but yeah, man.
You was a rookie. You didn't get no good tickets.
No doubt, man. No doubt, man. Appreciate you guys, man. Always, man. Always good to get together, man. Always, you know.
Already. Yeah. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. NBA Hall of Famer Mitch Richmond on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast.
Right.
Peace.
See you, man. See you guys.
All right, Peaches. I'll holler at you.
Brother. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeet. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mitchell Richmond. He get mad when I call him Mitchell.
Mitch gonna get you. He gonna strangle you, dog.
I'm gonna strangle him back for trying to say you was a better hooper than me. But you know, we gonna let that lie.
Hey man, the basketball minds and the basketball gods know, man. It always shines through on the Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. You know, you bro. Hey, let me tell you something. You should have gone into to being an attorney, bro.
Wow.
You should have gone because yeah, you're not
an athlete anymore.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you've been, I guess, I wouldn't even say you'd be a great defense attorney, but you're always going to ask a different question thinking you're going to get a different answer. This is not going to happen.
Okay, let me ask you this. 10 shots. If me and you put up 10 shots.
I'm going to win.
You're going to make more shots than
yes,
me.
Yes, I'm going to win. Yes.
You can't shoot.
What are you talking about? Oh my gosh! There's a lot of people that can't shoot, but they can play.
You can play, but you can't shoot. Would you agree with that statement? Yes.
Everybody goes through their moments. You know, Kobe has gone through that. LeBron, MJ, we've all done it. You know?
You're not part of that group. We've all been through that, dog.
You just haven't really entered that realm of our ability. You're not one of those yet, but keep going. I mean,
hey, in the Hall of Fame. I ain't listening to y'all.
Our 81st episode, maybe you will get into that category, but I got a long way to go.
I'm $1 billion away from $1 billion.
Right.
So, okay. So let's talk about our three and out segment regarding Mitch Richmond, NBA Hall of Famer. One thing for number one, like you said,
I got a good one.
What you want to start with?
My number one, and it came towards the end of the podcast, was that you know, he said he wore Jordans while playing the same era against Jordan. Like, for me, that just paid so much homage and respect, you know, to like who we all know in any estimation is the greatest basketball player of all time, and Michael Jordan. So that I thought that was really cool, you know, especially him being who he is, what he's accomplished. Now, like I said, you talk about the different eras and time periods in which guys played in. I didn't really see that happening because I mean, you think about the guys that had shoes. I know notably,
not a lot of that.
Dominique Wilkins, he had the Brooks. You remember those?
Yeah,
the Brooks. I had
Magic and Magic and Larry Bird had shoes.
Converse. Yeah, I didn't really peep guys' shoe game out like that, as if other guys were wearing their shoes. And I just thought it was just them wearing their own shoes.
Right.
But, you know, but now everybody wears everybody's shoe now.
Yeah, but for him to do that back then, it's respectful. But again, like he said, it wasn't nothing to be said on the court about it. We go compete while I'm out here. But I'm going to wear your shoes or not. Right. Hey, I'm going to give you every bucket I got. You know what I'm saying? So. I think the second one for me was when he, again, you know how we always discuss, it's the journey, it's the process. And a lot of kids that listen to the show as well got to understand, like, when he went to visit Houston and he saw Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, and they came out the tunnel and they were just bigger, faster, stronger. And then he got to watch and play up close. He was like, yo, I'm not ready yet. You know what I'm saying? I got to do something to get my game ready. And I'm not there today. I'll get there in a couple years, but today I'm not ready. Changed his whole perspective on being ready for college basketball.
Right. That little scenario, how he described it, like, especially, you know how hype it is, you know, going to like a top basketball game, you know, just top football games, high school, just the crowd, the energy, that atmosphere, the popcorn, the burgers, you got Cokes. And then I literally, when he explained that, I'm envisioning him standing like maybe in the tunnel somewhere or courtside, and he's watching these guys run in. I'm like,
eyes just getting big.
Right. Just think, if he had committed, he probably wanted to decommit.
I ain't ready. But again, that's the process. And again, I think the third thing that we try to get into a little bit about the business of professional sports, and he got to discuss it regarding when he got traded, how he was he went down to his the head coach and general manager at the time, Don Nelson, hotel room, and says, please tell me you didn't trade me to the Sacramento Kings. And Don Nelson goes, I trade you to the Sacramento Kings. You know, because as a player, we always think we have leverage and we have all this power. But again, the organization, especially when the head coach is a general manager, they're going to do what's best for their organization. There's always that butting of heads between athlete and administrators in an organization.
Right. Yeah, well, so crazy. I like to follow up with that. You know, he was saying that he didn't want to be, you know, he asked Don about who was the best one on the most valuable on the team. And he said, Larry Bird.
Chris Mullins. He said Chris Mullins.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
The other white guy.
Right, exactly. To piggyback that, he said he went to Dunn. He's like, okay, well, who's the best? Who do you think is the best player on the team? And he said, Chris Mullin. So he's like, okay, well, who's the second best? So if he thought he was the second best and he's getting paid 3.1, okay, pay me three then.
There it is.
He wasn't trying to allow him to prove himself, but as Mitch said, he didn't say that he wanted to be traded. He wanted to prove himself.
Right. And again, the business of professional sports, right? Yep. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate the guest, Mitch, for coming on. NBA Hall of Famer, right? That's it. We got NBA, got NFL Hall of Famers. That's what we do right here on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast.
Yeah, no doubt. Keep it locked. Stay tuned. Subscribe.
Swipe up. Sharing is caring. Peace.
Okay.